W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
To the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours, and after a brief hiatus for moving house and moving jobs and moving everything but the needle, we have returned to talk pass rushers who have misbehaved, talk quarterbacks who refuse to leave where they currently are, and to play you all of our remaining interviews from the Super Bowl, because basically we're lazy. Thank you very much for joining us. This is the Gridiron Show. And on the theme of laziness from moment one, Will Gavin in the studio, Ollie Hunter not actually here.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, I think it's, firstly, we should address some of the rumours that have been circulating on social media, Facebook, Twitter.
There have been rumours?
Instagram, even Instagram. The rumours of Gridiron being no more. It is not true. We are back. We've just been busy, haven't we, Will?
Oh, it's been a crazy few weeks. And so apologies, first of all, to our sponsors. Don't worry, we're going to put out two podcasts over the next 3 days, maybe 2 days. We'll see how we do. And we're going to put out a load of stuff for the draft anyway. Plus, we've got the schedule release next week. And so with all of that, there's going to be loads of content over the next few weeks. Plus, who cares what our thoughts are on RG3 signing with the Browns and having a quarterback battle with Josh McCown? And who cares what our thoughts are on... I don't know what else happened over the last 2 weeks. Literally, ask me about the tennis or the golf, and I am clued up. But, yeah, we apologise for our lack of podcasting over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're a disgrace, a collective disgrace.
What's ridiculous is I feel like I've seen you more regularly than any time in the last 2 years, bar when we've been away with each other. But every time I see you for a sum total of about 45 seconds.
Well, no, I have to say I disagree. We've seen each other. We just haven't been able to pod.
Like, I'll come in and you're just finishing off Nat Coombs' show on TalkSport 2, and I've got to voice some nonsense for, you know, some German football coverage, and then you've got to go and do a, like, pre-record a different show, and I've got to intro the golf, and it's all been, you know, it's very much like passing shit in the night. That's the phrase, right?
Because of the quality of the Skype connection, I thought you said passing sh**.
No, I did say passing sh**. I thought that was the phrase.
Oh, right. Do you mean ship as in something that sails on the sea?
No, I keep saying the word for defecation, Ollie. You're kind of ruining the joke.
Oh, right. Sorry, guys.
It wouldn't be the case if you were here, which you're in your second home, which is TalkSport 2. But you're not. You're not here with me. What is exciting, though, is we've got a brand new soundboard. No new sounds, just a brand new soundboard. Which makes playing the noises out.
Damn, Titans, damn.
Way, way easier. Which means you can expect more.
To the bang.
More
tight spiral balls.
And more.
Let's go Crackers with the Packers.
I thought you were going to get rid of all of these. We were going to retire a load and build a whole new soundboard.
I suggested that and you said no.
Well, look, I think we should do a bit of both.
What do people think on Twitter? We need to know. At Gridiron on Twitter, what should we keep? What should go? And maybe some suggestions for new stuff as well. Because, I mean, there's some stuff that's never going to leave us. We're never going to get rid of... They can leave San Diego and we'll re-record this song to a version more suited to their new location because we love it that much.
Anchorage, supercharged. Anchorage. Chargers!
Austin, Texas, Superchargers. It works. It works bloody well. And
Wembley, Brent, Superchargers.
Wembley, Brent. Oh, that's horrendous. Yeah. So, Ollie, is there anything to report from your life then? Is there anything to tell me about? Because every time I see you, inevitably we go, when are we going to podcast? We should podcast soon. When are we going to podcast? And then we don't podcast.
Dude, we should so podcast right now.
I miss you, buddy.
I miss you. Even though we see each other a lot. Yeah, I miss you. I miss your wife more, though.
Should we? Come on, mate. Should we tell people what we're going to have coming up on the show first and then do all of this?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
So, coming up on today's show, what we're going to do over the next 2 days is split two shows apart. So, you've sent us in some great questions on Twitter. We'll get to those. We'll talk a bit of news on this show. She'll talk about misbehaving pass rushers and quarterbacks who either refuse to leave where they currently are or are so desperate to leave where they currently are that no one will take them. And then we're going to roll on with the rest of our Super Bowl interviews. So, we've still got to play you Charles Johnson of the Minnesota Vikings, Greg Jennings, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, Jim Stuckey, former defensive lineman of the 49ers. Ed Too Tall Jones, a member of that brilliant Cowboys defense of the late 70s. Ian Williams, who's just re-signed with the 49ers. And Ricky Jean-Francois of the London-bound Washington Football Club.
Out of those five,
that was six,
who was my six, who was my favourite?
I'm going to guess it was Ed Too Tall Jones.
No, you would be wrong.
Go on. Who was it then?
Ricky Jean-Francois.
He was great, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. It was so good.
And we get into all... We don't talk about Washington very much, and we get deep on Washington, so...
You like that? You like that?
That's the first one I'm retiring, by the way.
We go tight spiral balls deep into Washington.
I think it was BS.
No, that didn't work, did it?
No. Sorry, buddy. So we'll get into all of that in a short while. But Ollie, tell me your life. What's been going down?
Oh, man, I've been pulling double... Like, I worked days and nights at TalkSport for 4 days in a row. It was horrendous, and I slept for, like, a week. But other than that, I haven't... You know, my life has just revolved, and I've been working on TalkSport 2's Nat Coombs' All-American Sports Show, which has been good fun. That's been good fun. And you know who we had on the show yesterday?
Go on.
Do you watch First Dates?
Yeah, I love First Dates. I mean, I maybe shouldn't admit that quite so vehemently, but yeah, it's brilliant.
So you know the maitre d', Fred Siriex?
No, you did not have Fred on your show.
Mate, I've got his number. He's a big boxing fan, and we previewed Pacquiao Bradley with him.
Oh my God, that is incredible. I couldn't believe it was him. I'm doing Pacquiao Bradley on Sunday morning on TalkSport 2. We've got full live coverage. Wow, why am I shilling for TalkSport 2? But I'm hosting that coverage. So, let's try and get him on at like 4 in the morning. That'd be amazing.
I have to ask Nat to see if I will be able to give away his number. But
hold on, I thought you were Nat's executive producer.
Yeah, I am Nat's exec producer. But so that was pretty cool. I looked him up and I found him on Twitter and I thought, nah, it's a different person. There's no way that we'd be getting the guy from First Dates on. And we did. Spoke to Azmir Begovic. I spoke to him about the Patriots. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm just listening. All right.
Because it's dropped a couple of times. One time it dropped and I dialed back in and you didn't even notice I'd gone.
Just chatting away to myself.
You were just chatting away to yourself. So anyway, Azmir Begovic, I said it. I shouldn't really like you given that I'm a Packers fan and a QPR fan. And he replied and called QPR OPR. Which was an obvious slight at me. Thank you very much, Azmir. But he was pretty cool.
Old person Rangers?
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
It's better than one of my friends who called them queer people rule.
Okay. Well, I mean, they do. So
they do. That's true.
It's at least accurate.
Yeah, thankfully.
I have literally...
What have you been up to?
Moving house. That's the worst thing in the world, but it's going to be amazing once we've moved in. Oh, there's so much nonsense with solicitors. I hate it. Oh, it's just rubbish. And tomorrow morning I have to pay £60,000 into somebody else's account, and that makes me incredibly sad.
That's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we have to do that tomorrow, and then completion like next Monday, and then we can start actually moving stuff. I've been to the tip more times in the last 3 days than it's natural for any human being to go to an area of refuse that often in their life, and it's been a ball ache. But I've taken some downtime in that. Sunday night we had no live sport on TalkSport 2, so I watched all of WrestleMania in full, and it was incredible. And I'm slightly sad we've not had Adam Rank on to talk about it, so maybe I'll slide into his DMs and see if he fancies coming on to talk wrestling with me on a time when you're not going to be here.
I can converse wrestling. I can't converse wrestling.
You came and watched the women's match with us when your shift finished at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, that was good, actually, the women's match. That was good.
See? It is good. It's designed for children, but I don't care.
It's designed for children and fat Americans.
Do you know? Well, I'm basically a fat American. I'm at least 50% of the way there. And I went to see Batman versus Superman.
Why did you do that to yourself?
I genuinely don't know. It was truly dreadful.
I'm really disappointed in you, actually, for doing that.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I... Well, the thing is, I knew I was going to go and see it, and I will probably go and see the Justice League as well, but I just hate Zack Snyder. Like, I could honestly do an hour-long podcast about why that film is terrible.
A podcast? A podcast about Alan Pardew?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Pardew? Yeah, I could do a podcast as well.
A podcast about Ma.
Whinging about how great Pardew is in the transfer market, but one of the least reactive managers in the history of time, and therefore I refuse to be his friend.
So you're moving to Surrey, right? Do a podcast.
I am moving to Surrey, so that's how I'm going to talk from now on. No, I went to the cinema to see the latest Jackie Chan release.
Oh my god!
Do you know what that voice almost is? Fantasy darling.
Oh, I've forgotten about that. You need to make that as a drop.
Yeah, okay. Somebody record themselves going, ooh, fantasy darling. Not in my voice. Send it in to us via, you know, Boomerang or something. That's what the kids are using now, Ollie.
Let's have two. So we'll have you doing it, but occasionally we'll drop in a listener's winner's fantasy darling. We'll pick the best one.
What happens if no one sends us a fantasy darling now?
Then I'll do it.
don't tell anyone. I'll cut that out. I'm definitely not going to cut that out. So yeah, that's basically been what I've done, and I won't go on about whinging about Batman versus Superman. It was just dreadful and incoherent and nonsense and badly directed and not brilliantly acted. And basically, the one star, the two star reviews it's been given are at least one star too generous. That was my feeling on it.
I feel your pain, buddy. Feel your pain.
Let's talk some NFL news. And very exciting stuff. Twitter have announced that they're going to be live streaming Thursday Night Football via Twitter next season. So your dream of watching Jags Titans on a 5-inch screen at 2 a.m. is about to come true.
What do you feel about this? I mean, do you really care?
I mean, no, it's kind of cool because it makes it free access to all. And I'm assuming that if they have the international rights and you can pick it up anywhere, well, let's be honest, that means you're going to get the opportunity to, not watch the Sky coverage. So bonus.
Actually, do you know what? That's a really good point. But then when you buy NFL, you know, what's it called? Game Pass, you don't have to watch the Sky coverage then anyway.
That is true.
But then for those people, it's going to be for free. For free for everybody, and all you have to do is create a Twitter account, but then it will be on a tiny screen. I don't know what to do. Maybe they'll make a big screen out of it, like in YouTube, when they do live simulcasting on YouTube and stuff.
What's amazing is that we will have just had... Thank you for your thoughts on that, Ollie. I'm glad that you told me what you thought of the Twitter thing. I had to really remember what it was because it was 5 minutes ago we were discussing that. The magic of editing means that people won't have heard the last 5 minutes where my wife decided to ring because she was getting off the bus after watching my big fat Greek wedding 2 and just wanted to talk to me while she was walking from the bus to the house because she was a bit freaked out because tooting can be a bit rough at times.
Yeah, but the thing is, and... I know this from personal experience because my sister did it. It's really bad idea to be on your phone in the dark talking to someone, because she was on the phone, and this is going to get a little dark, when she was living in Southwark about 10 years ago. And then she got mugged because she was on her phone. On the phone to her boyfriend at the time.
Southwark was a lot rougher 10 years ago and mobile phones were a lot less prevalent, so I'm blaming it on that.
Okay, fair enough. And she was a bit stupid doing that. But either way, I don't like it.
We haven't really talked about much NFL, and we're about 15 minutes in here. But I did want to tell one more story before we got on. So yesterday we were running stuff to the dump, and just like bags of recycling, bags of rubbish, stuff like that. So we've got in our little car, Larry, and we opened it up, started to pack all the rubbish bags in. So I was bringing them down to the bottom of the stairs. Sarah was filling the car. Fine.
Yeah.
Filled the car up. I walked down the stairs, checked that everything was in, slammed the door behind me. Sarah looks at me immediately, half terrified, half angry. And I was like, what? And she was like, do you have your keys? And no.
Oh, no.
Brilliant, because hers were shut on the inside of the door, still inside the chub lock.
Oh, no.
Wait, this gets so cool in a second. So I ring up our land, our letting agents, ends up that because they don't manage the property, they don't keep a copy of the keys. Rang our landlord, didn't get an answer. Sarah, right, you know, Ollie, our letterbox broke off a little while ago and I've not bothered fixing it. So there's just a big hole in our front door.
Yeah.
We both tried to get our arm through and reach the keys, but neither of us could reach them. Sarah, suddenly like f***ing MacGyver, looks over at me and goes, I've got an idea. Runs to the car, opens up one of the bags that's going down to the recycling, pulls out a desk tidy, like a little thing that's got like eight drawers in it. You put stuff like safety pins and, you know, pens in and stuff like that. Stationary stuff. Takes one of these drawers out.
Yeah.
Puts it through the letterbox, so it's underneath the keys. Then takes a hairpin out of her hair.
Yeah.
Puts it through the lock, turns the key in the lock and pushes it out into the drawer and then withdraws the drawer through the letterbox, keys and all.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was genuinely the coolest thing I've ever seen my wife do. And I stood there like an absolute muggins, just like I would never have even thought. I was 5 minutes away from calling a locksmith. Do you
love her even more now?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think I've ever loved her more.
Wow.
It was.
This is it. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I think she might have peaked.
Get better than that.
I think she might have peaked, Ollie.
Oh, no. She's peaked and you've been married a year.
No! But it was a glorious moment while it lasted. Look, I always...
Hold up. When is your anniversary?
End of May.
Oh, okay, good.
We've got plans. It's fine.
Will you remind me so I don't forget sending you a card?
You don't need to send us a card.
I'll give you
a present is what's preferred, mate. Come on.
Oh, right, fine. It's paper, isn't it? Present of money.
yeah, I mean, I'm giving her Adele tickets, so... Player! To see her in Verona.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That'll be incredible.
They're pretty incredible seats as well, but just in case she listens, I'm not going to say that.
She definitely doesn't listen.
she's going to know I told this story. So this might be the one podcast she listens to, just so she can hear the story of how cool she was.
Yeah, okay.
I think we should get people to tweet us. Tweet us at Gridiron with your cool stories. Your cool stories or your cool wife stories. I want to know when somebody has impressed you by just pulling something out of the bag like that.
Yeah, all right. That's great.
That would so work better on radio, but it's fine. It's all good. Let's... I should have... also put that to some music, but I don't really have anything suitable.
Don't put it to that. You've got a billion musical beds to your fingertips on that screen to your left-hand side.
And there's only one thing I want to play. Hysterical! Hysterical! And it's that. Right. We need to get to our interviews and stuff, but there is some NFL news floating around. Should we save the quarterback talk for tomorrow's show? And just quickly mention the misbehaving defensive ends talk.
Yeah, let's do that.
So Greg Hardy has called himself an innocent man and Ray Rice a guilty man as he denies ever laying his hands on a woman. He says it's a stretch to say he didn't do anything wrong, but then in the same sentence insisted he was innocent. He didn't lay a hand on his girlfriend. Then he said, but yeah, an incident did happen. Well, I don't know about you. I've seen the photos of her back taken by the police after it happened. That doesn't suggest to me that nobody lay a hand on her. It just this bizarre interview on ESPN with Greg Hardy that makes me think he doesn't want to be employed by an NFL team anymore, because surely no one who sees that thinks to themselves, oh, he's in the right frame of mind. Let's bring Greg Hardy into our 53.
Now, I've got a problem with this story. Not just, you know, what it's about and how horrendous a human being Greg Hardy is. And we all know he is. And that isn't new. It's not new news. It's not news.
No.
But the whole ESPN giving further coverage to this horrific excuse for a human being.
I think it was BS.
You're utterly right there. It is BS. And the fact that we're now talking about it, we're giving this... I'm sorry to say, more time, more air It's just really disappointing. And I just wish he'd go away. I don't want to know anything about it. A bit like our fantasy league. No one should pick him up, or no one did pick him up. And that should happen in real life. And no one should even talk about him ever, ever again.
Just in case anyone wonders, it is a league with defensive players in, IDP league. Just because people will go, he's a defensive player. You don't play defensive players in fantasy football. That's what all of my fans sound to me like when I'm... My fans. I said my fans. That's what all of them.
No. Billy Big Bollocks over there. Now he's got a TalkSport 2 show. Oh, my fans. Yeah.
That's what all our fans sound like to me on Twitter.
All my fans say, By the way,
did you get the
signed pictures through the post?
Watching Greg Hardy. Right, anyway, the other thing is, whilst we're talking... Sorry, go on.
Do you agree?
I know, absolutely. You're 100% right. That's why I'm trying to move on.
Okay, good.
Oakland and Alden Smith have struck a two-year deal. Worth up to $19.5 million with $11 million base. Wow. He's going to miss the first 10 games of this season after he had a year-long ban imposed on him. That's his, I think, his fourth incident or ban in four seasons, maybe his third ban, but fourth incident in as many years. I mean, this guy is clearly talented. Most sacks in the first 2 years of his career of any player in NFL history, 33.5 when he's played as a situational pass rusher in San Francisco. In just 500 snaps last year, him and Khalil Mack combined for an unbelievable 62 hurries, 9 sacks, 8 quarterback hits before the suspension. You know, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But a two-year contract with $11 million base salary for a guy that's going to miss 10 out of 32 games?
I mean, at least he'll be fresh.
Well, there is that. If they play him situationally, if they actually use him in that way, and you consider they went out and got Bruce Irvin?
Yeah, yeah.
From the Seahawks. Is that who they signed from the Seahawks? Oh, my God, I'm so tired.
I really think it was. right out of the bag. That's one of those... I can't believe it. Type Sarah Gavin's stories.
If you bring,
you really impressed me there.
Ridiculous. If you bring him into that situation as a situational pass rusher, then he could be really explosive and really exciting. But it does feel like they've overpaid massively.
Yeah, I mean the fact that he's going to miss those 10 games. Oakland could be 3-7 by then. We don't know what the schedule would be like, but you know they could be out of it, and they're paying a guy to be not playing for them. It's mad.
But do we think that is the Raiders this year? I mean, I am starting to believe that the Raiders could challenge for the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of hysterical, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not here to do this, so I can do it whenever I like. In fact, I'm not even going to play hysterical. Will's right! Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. My fans will love that one.
You're such a prick.
I'm going to turn into Westwood now I've got this. I'm going to get bomb drops and stuff like that. It's going to be awesome.
Can't say bomb now.
We're in a podcast studio, not an airport. Right, but my feeling on the Raiders at this point, right? So you've got Amari Cooper, you've got Michael Crabtree, who was brilliant last year, second choice. Seth Roberts, I thought, came through really interestingly. Andre Holmes caught a few touchdowns towards the end of the season. So they've got receivers.
You've got Latavius Murray, who I think just needs a few games, really, piecing it together, putting everything together. He's obviously got the talent.
I would like to see them take a running back. If there's any way they can move up and get Ezekiel Elliott, that would be incredible. I think that Latavius Murray needs a 1-2 punch there. But Derek Carr's impressive. I think they've probably got one of the top two or three offensive lines in the league at this point. It's a very big offensive line. Donald Penn and Austin Howard on the outside. Kalichi Osemele, who they brought in obviously this year. Rodney Hudson, who they paid a lot for. And Gabe Jackson. You know, it's a very big, brawling offensive line. There's not a lot of foot speed necessarily there, but they're one of the most powerful offensive lines in the league, and I think rival the likes of the Steelers and rival the likes of the Cowboys for one of the best lines in the league. And we saw what their defense did last year, and they've augmented that. Now, if they can get a top-level cornerback, if they can get a top-level running back, I love the Sean Smith signing as well. If they can bring in another cornerback, maybe another safety, and a starting running back. If they can get starters at those three positions, they look like a playoff team.
And like I've said before, you can get decent cornerbacks, even at from smaller schools or whatever, in the deeper rounds of the league. You can get those guys to come in, plug and play, and do a job for you. And yeah, okay, you've got me. Don't forget the punter as well.
Marquette King, one of my favourite punters in the league.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then it would be very recent Raiders for them just to completely tank anyway.
To implode, it would.
Exactly.
So, Ollie, we've got six interviews. How are we going to choose which ones go on this show?
Why don't you just pick at random?
I think we could do that. And I've got a way of doing it.
How?
Let's do Interview Wheel of Fortune! Welcome to Interview Wheel of Fortune here on The Gridiron Show. Ollie Hunter is our contestant this evening. Ollie, you have a wonderful range of interviews to pick between. Shall we see where the wheel takes you?
Yes, please.
In which case, Ollie, I'm going to need you to shout, spin that wheel for me.
Spin that wheel for me, Will.
Ollie, you're a man in luck. We're going to start off with your favourite, Ricky Jean-Francois.
Do you know what I like is when you see someone that's about to fall asleep and they're like,
and they keep,
and you just keep watching. It's one of the funniest things ever.
You mean like me in the bar last night?
Like you in the bar last night. You and your mate in the bar last night. You were a disgrace.
You got to pace yourself. You can't go full speed. No, you got to pace yourself.
The thing is, it wasn't even that, because I'd only had a couple of drinks, but it's because we were here at like 6 in the morning. We were here until 7 at night.
Did you eat, though?
Well, this is the thing. I haven't eaten yet today, again. So
this guy needs to eat. Look at him.
Look, Ricky's a defensive line. He understands about this. He's got to bulk up. I mean, I could play defensive line, maybe. So delighted to be joined by Ricky. And I'm going to try and pronounce this right.
Jean-Francois.
Damn. I could have told you that because it's French.
Oh, I was trying to be
Jean-Francois.
French. Jean-Francois.
Yes, perfect.
Fantastic. Well, it's from our part of the world, almost. So, Ricky, just first of all, talk to us. You've been here since, as you said, 6 this morning. It's now mid-afternoon. How's your Super Bowl 50 experience been?
I'm loving it. I'm loving the media. I'm getting a chance to connect with a lot of new guys, see a lot of Hall of Famers, get a chance to talk to them and just talk to them about the game and back and forth, and trying to get better at doing this, being behind a mic, being able to ask questions, be able to give questions off back and forth. Like, this feel like this practice to me, and I'm getting it from every nationality and every side of the world, so that's the best part about it.
Awesome stuff. Are you, in terms of who you've seen today, who you've met today, we asked Todd Gurley this earlier, but is there a highlight of someone you've met today you hadn't met before? And that's because it's just crazy. We were doing our show yesterday in the evening, and Steve Young and Jerry Rice were stood behind us, and we just got to go, Jerry, come say something for the UK fans. He came over, he talked into the mic for a couple of minutes. It was, that sort of thing can only happen here.
Yeah, I had my back turned, and I didn't pay attention to who it was, and I was doing the interview. And when I turned around, I saw it was Emmitt Smith. I wanted to break away from the interview and start talking to him, but I was just like tapping him, trying to say hi at the same time and concentrate on what I was saying. Like you said, this is the only event that you get to stand and interact with Hall of Famers, guys who we used to have on cards, and now you get to actually hold a conversation with them and see what they're really like.
Talk to us about your first season in Washington. Obviously, it's a place that hadn't had playoff football for a few years, and a successful season overall in the NFC East. Talk to us about your first year there and how you experienced it.
At first, when going to D.C., it was a soap opera because we were trying to figure out who the quarterback is, and now we find out who our quarterback is. It was Kirk Cousins. We had some up and downs, but we ended up getting together at the end of the day, ended up having a players meeting to tell guys that you have the talent to be the best that you want to be. It's up to you to bring it out. We can say we're the best, but if you don't display it on the field, how we know we're the best? And once that started happening, we started putting wins together. Last part of the season, we had 4 wins. We won one of the hardest divisions in the NFL. We got a quarterback that dropped 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns. And it's a lot to take from the season that just took past. And I'm happy about the next season. I'm happy and I'm scary about it. Why I'm scary about it is because all the weapons that Kirk Cousins have and everybody is gelling together. It's going to take some time again to do it.
I mean, on the offensive side, just quickly while you're talking about all the weapons, what I love this year is Kirk is a guy who we didn't know a huge amount about going to this year. Yeah. We knew he had the raw tools, but what I loved on the way your offense set up, and I wonder what this is like as a defensive player, is that your schemes and the routes they ran, everything was done to confuse the defense. You've got crossing routes, you've got guys going out to the post while there's a guy streaking. It's the exact opposite of what Green Bay did throughout the season and why they struggled so much. Just talk to me about that offense and what you would have felt like playing them, because they do so much to confuse you.
The offense of our offense.
Your offense, what do you guys do?
This would have been hard. We had to stop the run because a lot of teams had a hard time stopping the run, so when they couldn't stop the run, we could run the ball anytime we wanted to, and we wanted to play action. You had DeSean Jackson 60 yards down the field wide open, or you had Jordan Reed down the middle of the field with two split safeties. As long as we got the run game opening, everybody, or either if we wanted to pass, a lot of people put two high safeties. And when they kept going two high safeties, they kept running the ball every time. And we got the right running backs to do it every down.
And on the defensive side of the ball, you were one of the strongest running defenses in the league in the early part of the year, and it seemed that it dropped off slightly as the year went on. I can remember the first 4 or 5 weeks, it was kind of like people weren't giving you the respect for it, but yeah. You were in that top three, top four run defenses, but it did tail off a little bit. And as a guy on the line, can you talk as to why that might be and what you can do this offseason to improve that?
I believe we just wasn't focused on fundamentals. It's like the first few weeks, we knew what to do and we knew how to play sound football, but once we started slowly slacking off on your gap responsibility, who needs to be here, who needs to be there, and we start seeing it, and it started affecting us from winning ball games, big ball games at that. So we go in the offseason, we got to know how to master consistency. That's the biggest thing, master consistency, and you'll be the key to anything. You'll do everything, sky the limit.
I wanted to talk to you about Jordan Reed. Just go back to the offense.
Sorry.
Because he had an absolutely stellar year. He was brilliant. How difficult is he to play against in practice, and how good can he be next season?
That's one of the scary parts. How good can he be? This year, he was in a league of his own. He was up there with the Grunt. As long as you compare Jordan Reed to Grunt, not size, but ability-wise, you have a tight end. And I believe that was Kirk Cousins' number one target. Even though he had the fastest guy in the NFL, DeSean Jackson, and he had one of the best possession receivers, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed can line up out there the same way and do the same thing those guys do.
I genuinely don't understand why people didn't get that when you got in the red zone, Jordan Reed was going to run a slant route, catch the ball, and score a touchdown. Like, I can't remember which week it was. It must have been about 14-15, but you did it twice in the same game. And just going, I've seen them do this all season long. Somebody's got to notice that's what they're going to do and try and stop him.
But the thing is, like I said, if you have an effective run game, if you're a defensive player, what you going to respect? You got to respect the run game, because if you don't, Alpha Morris can hit a touchdown. But if you respect it, you got Jordan Reed, who literally finna catch this ball probably between three defenders and make it look easy.
Wanted to ask you as well about the Green Bay playoff defeat. It must have really hurt, especially the way that you played in the first quarter or so of that, and then Green Bay came back. But was it a game too far, and what can you guys do as a team to hopefully learn from that, but not repeat the same mistakes, but make sure it doesn't happen again next season?
Never let a quarterback understand what's going on your sideline, and you have to see the same thing as a quarterback see. The reason you see a lot of Hall of Famers in here, like Derek Brooks, and some more Hall of Famers, though defensive Hall of Famer Bruce Smith, they knew what you was going to do before you did it. And that's what we have to do. We got to know what's going on. We got to see what's going on in your eyes. We got to know what's going on in your head. What do you see make you tick? What makes you see this or do that and do this? We didn't do that against Aaron Rodgers. And then we wasn't comfortable on the field with our personnel, because one thing Aaron Rodgers mastered at is when you substitute, he always get that 5-yard penalty. And at that, he always end up getting a receiver downfield catching a touchdown pass or a big play.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Couple of guys that I want to ask about on that line. Terrence Knight, and one guy who came in and this year and did such a great job. But also Jason Hatcher, a guy who's been there for a number of years and has just been playing at a high level in this league for some time. What's it like going in as a guy who's probably, 4 or 5 years in the league now? Was it 20, I want to say 10 that you were brought in by the Niners? I should try and make
20,
a guess.
20, 2010 would have made me feel younger, but it was 09 I got, I was drafted, seven year going on eight. Having a guy like Terrence Knight, the one, probably one of the biggest, strongest dudes in the league, sitting in the middle of the field, you seen what he did with Denver. They had the number one run defense they could stop, and now we have him. It's like having a quarterback on the field. He knows a lot, and we take from him. But to have Jason Hatcher on the field too, an older guy that's swift and know his way around things, it made my job a lot easier because I start seeing things through their eyes, and they start showing me, this is what you need to start looking at. When I start looking at certain things, it started making my game a lot more easier, and it started making the game more fun because I can see what you're going to do before you do it, and I can have fun with it.
You looking forward to London?
Oh, yeah. Been there before.
Well, yeah, with the 49ers in 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
A successful trip. That team wasn't a great team at the time. Struggled. My Mike Singletary, a guy who I love, didn't have the greatest time, but came, beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. So what was your memories of that and how much you're looking forward to coming back?
It was just the atmosphere in the stadium. Like, I'd never been in a stadium that almost felt like a Super Bowl atmosphere until you get in the Super Bowl, and just seeing the fans just walking around the town, you see them with 49ers jersey, you see them with Broncos jersey, everybody loved football. Then I ended up going to a pet rally and just seeing that many fans come out from across seas and to come see us play and cheer us on, that's an amazing feeling. I believe every NFL player should experience playing in London at least once in your career. You got to experience at least once.
And we've also had Roger Goodell, the commissioner, he's announced that there'll be a game in Mexico City, Oakland versus Houston in November next season. The league is expanding, and would that be something maybe in 2017 going out to Mexico or maybe to Canada and playing in another international series game?
But remember, once upon a time back then, we used to play games like that.
Exactly.
We had games in Japan, if I'm not mistaken, one in Japan, one in Mexico. We kept playing those, and then for some reason, due to the safety reason, we stopped. But now we slowly but surely opening that gate back up, and now we're going to do a worldwide thing again. And when it does, the NFL is going to go. We're trying to be one of the biggest sports like soccer. Soccer's the number one sport. Nobody not touching them. But we want to get to the closest to them as we can so our game can be shown literally around the world and people can enjoy the game the same way we do over here.
Just to talk about the defenses this weekend, because they're two fantastic defenses. Interestingly, you're a guy who obviously an end in a 3-4 front. These are two teams that play that 4-3 and have two phenomenal defensive tackles on both sides of the ball. You've got K1 Short, Starlo Tolele. The penetration they've been getting is absolutely insane. And then Wolf and Malik Jackson on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost unfair, but which of those defensive lines do you think is going to have more success this weekend? And where do you see those battles being won and lost?
The one thing you said the D tackles. You never said nothing about the end. You got Von Miller. You have DeMarcus Ware, two Hall of Famers. And then on the other side, you have Charles Johnson. Then you, hopefully, Jared Allen can play too.
He was in training today, and he said he's going to play. So
we got Jared Allen too, and then we got Charles Johnson. On both sides, it's so hard to pick and critique, but you got to remember, when you saw Denver, you never heard in a day that Tom Brady had been hit 22 times in a game.
Crazy.
You never heard that. And with the Carolina Panthers, everything is clicking. Like, it's nothing falling off. And it's hard to beat a team that knows their rhythm, know how to get the rhythm, know how to get the move and groove. I believe it's going to be one of the most exciting Super Bowls to watch of this era.
I just want to quickly on that point, very quickly. We had Ed Too Tall Jones here yesterday, and he was saying to us that, you know, part of that doomsday defense in the Cowboys in the 70s, and a phenomenal player himself, he said since he retired in 1990, he's never been so excited watching football until when he saw Denver and what they did against the Patriots with that front, managing to bring pressure with three guys, with four guys, closing them down. He said it gave him goosebumps, and still gave him goosebumps today thinking about it. Everyone wants to talk about how great Cam is. They're the big favourites. But do you think if those guys can get pressure with just the front, just the front four, actually Denver can win this game?
I think that'll be a nightmare for Cam, and that'll be a nightmare for offense coordinator. A defensive coordinator dream is you can only rush three and still get there. You can only rush four and still get there. If that happens, then we have a ball game, because now you can rush four and drop seven, and no quarterback hates seeing seven guys drop. and now they can't get the reads they want. Now, and you got four successful linemen coming off the ball, but you got to remember with Denver, they can rush, but you have a quarterback that's 6'5", 250, and can run.
It's crazy. It's absolutely it's absolutely crazy. It's
that's
just
what I wanted to talk to you about. Cam Newton, he's a bit of a phenomenon. He's made everybody else on that entire roster, defense, special teams, offense, play better. I mean, can anyone stop him? I mean, obviously the Denver defense can and the Falcons did, but can you look past, can you look at the Panthers and Cam Newton especially pulling out an incredible, a massive performance and winning this game for them?
He can. And the thing is, they lost their number one receiver, Benjamin.
Yeah.
And they have, not saying that they're not big name receivers, they're good receivers around the NFL that didn't have the big time name. Cam didn't need that. Cam knew to make his team better, he had to become better. He had looked like he had a great offseason. He had a good time with his offensive coordinator, his head coach. They became one. They got on the same page. So when that happened, like you said, it made his whole team better. And when it made his whole team better, it's going to make him better. So if he know his offensive line going to block, or his receiver going to catch the ball, his defense going to get the ball back, everything clicking like this. And that's a scary feeling. I don't believe nobody can really slow Cam down, but this has to be the week. They must slow him down. They must have to slow him down.
How does it feel as a defensive lineman, and how do you feel about the way people react in the league to criticize Cam? Because I get frustrated with it, because in his first year in the league, towel over the head whenever he made a bad play, got on the sideline, became quite introverted, people gave him stick for it, said he wasn't a leader. Now he goes out there, pulls the Superman, gets in your face, has some fun with it, gives the ball away, celebrates with the backup quarterbacks, really gives it some, and people criticise him for it. If you're a defensive player and you're seeing a guy with that much swagger and that much confidence coming at you, what's that like, and what do you feel about the criticism of Cam?
That make you as a defender, you want to step your game up to stop a guy like that, to have swagger like that, but Cam gonna have swagger like that. Cam gonna have fun with it. He gonna do what he do, and nobody can stop him. And having a phenomenal athlete like that at quarterback at the best spot on the team, what else could you ask for Cam Newton to do this year, besides win the Super Bowl, become the MVP of the Super Bowl, and become the MVP of the league this
and
year?
And I want to ask you about Peyton Manning. You played against him when you played for the Colts a couple of seasons ago. If this is his last game, obviously he'll be going down as one of the best. But what is it like to line up against him and the way that he reads the game and manipulates his offense?
As a defender, you hate how he look at the game. You got to respect it. You just hate how he look at the game. Because the first word you hear, and you start hearing Omaha.
Omaha!
As soon as you hear that famous word Omaha, you got to be prepared to get in coverage, change it, switch, do something, because he already know what he's doing. If any time a defender, when I ever heard him scream Omaha, I'm just looking around like, please tell me somebody didn't give away the defense. Because if he call it Omaha, that means he's going for six.
I'm reasonably convinced that Omaha actually means nothing, that he just does it because he knows it puts people off. Like, maybe it used to mean something, but now he just goes Omaha every now and again. God, we've got to do something.
I believe it doesn't mean anything because his backup started doing it. When I started seeing his backup do, I said, even though this might be Peyton Manning last game, I said, now I figured it out. It doesn't mean nothing, but I can't get a chance to play against this guy again and realize now if I hear him say Omaha, it doesn't mean nothing.
Ricky, Lou, it's been really good fun. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you when you come out in London.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to being in London and running around everywhere, taking pictures and enjoying the fans.
And I promise, you said you wanted to get better at this as you were doing this today. We've had a lot of fun, really good time, so thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, man, thank you for having me on.
Back on Radio Row, and if our show was to have a Hall of Fame of regular guests, this is a guy who, when he was over with the Vikings, we chatted to him when he was over with the Dolphins, we had him on over the phone with the Dolphins. So this is time number four with us for Greg Jennings. Greg, how are you enjoying your Super Bowl so far?
I'm enjoying it so far, making my rounds. Just doing my due diligence, if you will. having a blast, though.
You're getting stuck in on media day as well at the opening night.
I saw you.
Yeah, I saw you getting
absolutely
involved.
I was answering, or not even answering. Look at me. I'm so used to answering the questions. I was asking a lot of the guys the questions and having fun with it, keeping it light.
That's what you got to do. It wasn't too bad. Well done.
I appreciate it.
It wasn't too bad, Greg. That's probably the biggest
compliment.
Okay,
I'll stay in my lane.
No, that's a very English way of saying
It you did brilliantly.
Oh, thank
you.
It's very English, so not too bad.
There we go.
Okay.
Does a future in the media beckon? I'm not saying the career's over yet, but I'm just wondering, is that something you guys
want to do?
I'm a realist, absolutely. Absolutely. There is definitely a future in the media, broadcasting, somewhere in a booth. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. But right now I'm going to keep my grind, on the gridiron.
Good stuff, man. Do we know next season what holds for Greg Jennings at the moment? Are we back in Miami? Do we have any clue what's happening?
Well, I'm under contract with the Miami Dolphins for another year. And so as of today, right now, yes, I am a Dolphin. And I say that because in this league, you never know what's going to take place.
Yeah.
You know, everyone says, oh, yeah, we want you back. We do. But, you know, I was in the same position last year with the Vikings. And then ended up getting released, so that changes my mindset when I'm in that seat again. It's like, yeah, I'm under contract, but nothing's guaranteed.
Well, we know that Adam Gase has obviously signed with you guys in this offseason. Have you had a chance to have a conversation with him yet? A sit down, have an idea of what his ideas are for the team? Because as an offensive mind, it seems like he could get things kick-started on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, he called me the other day, and Michigander, so we have relation back to Michigan, but I'm excited because of the things that he's been able to do throughout his career with other offenses and with other quarterbacks. I think the future is very bright, and I think everyone always says that when you get a new coaching change and all of that, but he definitely is going to bring a different look. It just, you can see with the staff that he's conforming and configuring together that he's trying to do something like right now.
Ryan Tannehill, I mean, for better or for worse, the form dropped off towards the end of the season, and we know he had issues with the offensive line, often had injuries on it, and he got hit a lot, but... Mm-hmm. A lot of people talking about Gase being the right guy for Ryan Tannehill and the right fit for him. From what you see from Tannehill and the work he puts in the film room and the work he puts in the offense, do you think this is a blip on an upward trending career, or is this something that we should be concerned about?
I think this is the year we find out. I really do. I think this is the year we truly find out who Ryan is, because as I've alluded to, you know, pretty much all morning and afternoon, I think that his hand has been held. He's been held back of doing some of the things that even he wants to do and not given that freedom. And I think that with Coach Gase coming, he's going to get to experience a little bit more freedom, and we're going to see who Ryan Tannehill really is.
Another person on that offense who had a really good year despite some of Miami's woes was Jarvis Landry. How good has he been, and seeing him in practice every day, but also come game time, Odell Beckham-esque style catches, etc.
He's a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal player. He can make every play from any position. And he's an electric player. He plays with a physicality at the receiver position that you really don't see too often, a Anquan Boldin-esque type of player. But he's an exciting player to watch. And he not only does it on the field in practice, but he transfers it and translates it over to the game, some of those ridiculous catches. So it's been exciting watching him.
And Dan, I mean, he's been a guy who's hit those heights these last 2 years. Yeah. He's got the most catches in the NFL over that time. It's interesting that you mentioned about his physicality. Think of him as more of a slot guy. And what I'm interested in with your offense for next season is how it is going to line up. We can see Greg Jennings on the outside, Jarvis Landry on the inside. Feels like the pieces are already there. It just needs a little bit of augmenting, a little bit of work
tweaking
with the coaches. And yeah, and it feels like it's on the cusp potentially.
Yeah, when you look at the roster, the guys are there to get it done. It's just coming together and developing that one track mind, that same mindset to where we can operate as a team and function as a team.
No doubt. And on the defensive side of the ball, these are guys that obviously you see in training on a regular basis. And I think very similar, a lot of talent on that side of the ball, but we've not quite seen it all firing. We know Cam Wake went down with the injury, and I mean, Brent Grimes maybe had a little bit of a down year compared to the last two before that. Again, do you feel positive on what's happening on that side of the ball as well?
I do. Again, we have the pieces there. And it's about, you know, just guys moving as one unit and not as individuals. and performing as a team collectively, and not, you know, jumping into their own little deal of I got to make this play, I got to make this happen, and it just allowing plays to take place and the game to just take its course, and plays will be made by individual guys. But I think that was the biggest thing. We had just a lack of unity at times, and it showed. I mean, it's hard when you go through coaching changes, and I mean, all through the year. It wasn't just at the beginning; it was at the midpoint of the year. It was at the end of the year. I mean, it was a roller coaster,
wasn't it?
Really, yeah, unsettled is the right phrase for it. Now, I'm sure the UK Dolphins fans will love us to talk Dolphins for ages, but you're a man who, you're here at Super Bowl 50 and you've got one of these rings. You've been here. You've done this. So these teams, as they're preparing for this week, it's Wednesday now, Tuesday? I literally don't know what day of the week it is anymore.
I'm almost there with you.
We're on Wednesday now, 4 or 5 days till the big game. How prepared? How are they going to be mentally at this point? What was it like for you building up to the Super Bowl at this point in the week?
This is when, you know, Wednesday is always hump day. So the things start to change. You have an off day yesterday, and now you start to lock back in. Now you got 2 days of focused practice, and then it's almost like downhill from here. So you got a lot less time to think about all the hoopla that's going on, because now you're focused on the X's and O's of preparing and getting yourself ready to play a game.
Well, one guy I wanted to ask you about was Aaron Rodgers. Probably had his most frustrating season as a pro, I would guess, last year, in terms of it just wasn't working out with the receivers. What's he like in that kind of situation with the frustration? And were you surprised at how it went last year?
You know, I don't know what he's like in that situation.
He had a lot of success when you were there.
We had a lot of success, so I don't think he ever really experienced what he had to go through this year. And it probably was a challenge. I'm sure it was, but you know, every player, every team is faced with adversities throughout the course of a year, and it's all about how you respond and how you bounce back with a certain amount of resilience. And if there's one player that I know that has it, is Aaron.
Yeah. So two touchdown passes in that Super Bowl.
Two.
Just talk. Yeah, two. Two touchdown passes in the Super Bowl. This is something that no one else at this table is ever going to achieve. Let's just make that pretty clear.
I haven't given up
all. There we go. Never give up on your dreams.
So, it was a reasonably tight game in the end with the scoreline, but just talk us through, for you, playing in a Super Bowl, catching touchdown passes, the atmosphere, the crowd, all of it. I'm just so fascinated by what that's like as a player. We know what it's like from the stands, but that's got to be special.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. Just as a kid, you dream of this moment, and to wake up and to know that you're about to be on the biggest stage in entertainment, it was almost surreal. And then to know that you have won on the biggest stage, it was numbing. It was numbing. And for me personally, to have impacted the game the way that personally I was able to impact the game, and as a team we were able to just come out fast and start fast, it was such a memorable experience. But it was numbing. It was really numbing. And what the icing on the cake was being able to hold my two daughters at the end of the game and them say, "This is a big mess," as the confetti falls. It was unbelievable.
I guess my final thought on this is, looking forward to this weekend and Super Bowl 50. It's interesting to see the contrasting styles of these two teams. The Panthers are coming in seemingly very loose, having a lot of fun with their media day, etc. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Broncos seem to be very much, this is a business week, this is a business trip. They're very, very focused at this point. When it comes to game day itself, first of all, I want to know who you're calling it for, but which approach do you think is going to really help a team come Super Bowl day? Is it better to be lithe and better to be a bit free, or should you be as focused as those Broncos are at the moment?
I think you have to have a combination of both. And the reason why I say that is because you can't have an unbalance there. But I think that the Carolina Panthers have the right approach, because it's a lot more challenging to be loose and to embrace being loose, because everyone wants to tell you to be focused and we have to make sure that this is a business trip. Everyone already knows that. Every game that they've played leading up to this point has been that. So they know that. Now you're on the largest stage. You have to keep doing what you've done. So you want that to permeate through your locker room and through your organization. Guys, we want you to be loose. Don't change what we've done. We've lost one game all year. We're doing something right. So, I'm, and with that, I believe that the Carolina Panthers are going to win Super Bowl 50.
I do think there's a lot of talk about the Panthers wide receivers and the lack of top end talent there and what Cam's managed to turn them into. I mean, I was just looking at the box score from your Super Bowl and go, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Donald Driver. I mean, as a group of receivers, that is ridiculous. I'm sure Cam would kill for that this weekend. So you're calling it for the Panthers. Scoreline, anything like that?
38-10.
Oh, wow. He's going to blow out as well. Look, Greg, it's always a real pleasure catching up with you. We hope you are back with the Dolphins next year and that you guys find some success with Adam. And I'm sure there are lots of Dolphins fans in the UK, so they'd all love to see it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks, Greg. Great. So absolutely delighted back on Radio Row to be joined by a guy who knows how to win this, and not just once, but twice. Two-time Super Bowl winner with the San Francisco 49ers, Jim Stuckey. Jim, you're looking great, sir.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I'm 57 and dropped a lot of weight, down from almost 300 down to 228. So I'm back in fighting weight right now, but it's good to be back here in the Bay Area. Live in Charleston, South Carolina, which is a long way away, all the way across the country. Not as far as you guys are.
We want to talk to you. Obviously, you said you're from South Carolina. Obviously, that gives you a Panther Dean, and we love the fact you're back in the Bay Area. But just tell us what you said about dropping the weight, and you're here talking about Nutrisystem.
Yeah,
tell
I'm here myself it. And Dan Marino 9 years ago. Danny and I had lost I'd lost almost 60 pounds on Nutrisystem, and I was a defensive lineman. I played at 255, 265, but I was beat up. And I needed a game plan. So Nutrisystem had just come out with a men's diet program. Nobody had ever catered to just men in the diet industry. And I said, oh my God, I'm an itinerary guy. I need something that works. So they send you a box and a freezer full of stuff, frozen foods, and you get it. But it gave me a game plan on what to eat, what not to eat, and portion control. So, I mean, I lost the weight quick. I lost 60 pounds in right at 8 weeks. And I got Danny on it. I'm the godfather of this whole program.
I mean, Super Bowl weekend's got to be a weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's good. So,
come Monday morning, people have got to be desperate
to
be
losing. We come promoted. So, and Super Bowl Monday is, the day after Super Bowl is the biggest diet decision day for men in the United States. And I don't know about the UK, but...
It will be for us.
Yeah. So you start to say, look here, I've got to change. I got to change some habits. So I tell people to get in the game, get off your fanny, and there's not all that much happening in February and March. So get up and try this. It works.
Fantastic. Now, we mentioned it already, returning to the Bay Area. Do you come to San Francisco much since your time here?
I come about twice a year.
Fantastic.
About a week at a time, and I love it out here. I lived here 10 years. I love the people. I love the topography, the city. I miss the heck out of it while I'm not here, but I live in Charleston, South Carolina, but I love coming out here. Such an exciting time for me this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a 49ers fan, and so I want to know what it was like playing for Bill.
Baby, all we did was win. People say, oh, what'd you do? I said, baby, all we did was win. Bill was great. He was pretty philosophical. And back in the 80s, there was still a lot of rah-rah in the coaching. And you play 16 games, so you can't get up emotionally every game. But what Bill, philosophically, he said, we are so good, and I will put you in the position. I have such a good offense, such a good defense, that I'm going to put you in a position that you play to a certain standard of excellence, whether you're up or down emotionally. And I expect that. And mentally, I'm going to put you in that position. And if you can't play to that, I'm going to get rid of you.
Yeah.
So it was pretty philosophical. So we played no matter, because you just can't go, you can't play 16 games up and down emotionally. You get too burnt out.
What interests me with you guys is kind of everybody focuses on Bill and Joe and the West Coast offense and how revolutionary that was. But that defense was also pretty spectacular as well. I mean, What were the practices like? Because I imagine those in themselves.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we had a great defensive line. We had 8 or 9 of us that they would interchange in situations. I mean, we would run guys in and out all the time. We had the best pass rusher in the league, a guy named Fred Dean.
Yeah.
And Fred was the only guy that still to this day ever won the AFC and the NFC Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow. Yeah.
He was the baddest pass rushing boy I ever saw. He weighed about 228. Never lifted a weight, anything.
Which is amazing, because that's more like, you see the guys nowadays who play a kind of 4-3 outside linebacker, and people think of that as a new thing, but playing at that sort of weight back then
is
amazing.
I mean, he was just so strong naturally.
Yeah.
And he grew up cutting pulpwood down in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Yeah.
There was nobody stronger than Fred. He used leverage and everything. But we had a group of characters. We had great linebackers in Ricky Ellison, Hacksaw Reynolds, Keena Turner. Oh, my gosh. The list just goes on. And our defensive backs, I mean, our defense was really good. We had Eric Wright, Ronnie Locke, Carlton Williamson, Dwight Hicks, and Lynn Thomas. It was amazing the wealth of talent that Bill and George Seifert had assumed and accumulated on both sides of the ball.
I actually spoke to Ronnie Lott 2 years ago.
And we've got him tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell him Stuck said hello.
will do.
He kind of spoke about what it was like for you guys going against Joe and Jerry Rice in practice and how that almost became more competitive than the games because you were so kind of...
Well, they were the best receivers and the best defensive backs in football.
Yeah.
So we had the accumulation on both on the same team. So, I mean, it was incredible. And I think Ronnie will probably tell you this too, but Super Bowl 16 meant the most to me only because we are a bunch of second and third year guys. Those guys were rookies. And we didn't know that we weren't supposed to be good. We did not know. Everybody forgot to tell us how good we were, that we weren't supposed to be as good as we were. And we came from great college programs. And, I mean, it was just special, special time. 84, we were a machine.
It's quite interesting you mention that, because some comparisons to be drawn with the some comparisons. I'll let you turn that off, Sean. It's not you. Oh, okay.
It's not me.
There's some comparison to be drawn, certainly, with the Panthers and that team that's there now. I look at those young guys in the middle, and you played defensive tackle, and K1 Short and Starlo Tulele, who came out of the same draft. They're only third year guys, and the level they're playing at is just incredible.
It is. They're playing really, really good football. I think Ron Rivera and his staff has done a great job of energizing these guys, not making things too overly complicated about what you have to think about. Their defense, I mean, they got some studs. They got great linebackers, great team leadership, and I think having Coach Rivera as a past player and being able to relate to these guys, that it's very, very beneficial. And I think Cam took a step forward this year to a whole different and a bigger leadership role. He said, this is my team. I'm going to put it on my back, and we've got the talent here, and we're going to roll.
And similar to Carolina, you guys all kind of grew up together in San Francisco, and Carolina are doing that as well, young guys who've kind of come through at the same time. How does that kind of build the team chemistry when you guys
do
that?
Well, it does. I mean, it gives everybody counts on one another. So if you're kind of, a lot of you are in that same age group, and you've certainly got your team leaders and anybody that'll address anything if you get out of line. But guys are following others by example now. And you set a positive example. Look, this is what we have to do to get to the promised land. And these guys are jumping on board with each other. They're maybe out of the same class, same age group. So, babe, we got this chance. It might only be our only chance ever. So we got to make the most of this. Let's do it right. Let's have our discipline and do the things that we're supposed to do to have a positive outcome.
Now, you said that 16 means the most to you, but you're working on this Nooch system stuff with Dan.
Yes.
And in 19, you guys went out there and beat him and, famously never quite got there and never won a ring. You've got to surely occasionally mention that to him.
Oh, I do, where he'll look at me and he'll say, you son of a buck, that's my ring. That's the ring I'm supposed to have. You know, and that's how he was arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And when you don't just have all the components together in one special season, then, I mean, you can, you might not ever get there. He played 17 years, and only one time is, what, his rookie year? Did he ever come close? So, I mean, you've got to have everything involved, and that's one thing Bill Walsh did, George Seifert, we, and Eddie DeBartolo, our owner, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The one for damn Eddie, getting everybody together and having the belief in not only his players but his coaches, and let football people run the team.
Yeah. Mentioning Eddie quickly, Saturday we expect to hear the announcement of the Hall of Fame, and he's up there. He's been nominated as the whatever they call it, that new category.
Yeah, it's the new category. Yeah.
But I surely he's a guy who many believe should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Oh my gosh, he should have been there years ago. And I'm hoping and praying that the voters find their way to pick him. He is so well deserving. One of the best, if not, I consider him the best owner ever.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, heartfelt. He's a player's owner. He always took care of us. His exuberance, his enthusiasm, his wanting to give to San Francisco what they deserved.
Yeah.
And that's a quality people and product out on the field.
Yeah. Fantastic. We've got to finish off and finally say, obviously, you're a Carolina boy. We're hoping, imagining you're going to be rooting for Cam and those guys, but how do you see Sunday going? Do you see any chance for Peyton and the old guys?
I think at the end of the day, I think Denver has incredible defense. I think their offense is good, not great. I think there are certain components that are great, but I think Carolina has the overall talent on the defensive side, the offensive side, and special teams. So I think they've got the overall game plan, too. So if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but I would take Carolina to win.
And if there's a young team, they can do what you guys did in 16, they go on and be a bit of a dynasty and replicate what you guys managed to do here in San Francisco?
Absolutely. So good to be back in the Bay Area. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for listening to The Gridiron Show with me, Will Gavin, and Ollie Hunter down the line. Ollie, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Will, do you think Ricky Jean will remember us?
I would love to think he will when we see him. So you heard from Ricky Jean Francois there, Greg Jennings, and also the legend of the 49ers, Jim Stuckey. Plenty of Super Bowl rings on that man's fingers. Coming up in the next show, we're going to have Ed Two Tall Jones, Ian Williams, and Charles Johnson of the Minnesota Vikings. Plus, we'll talk quarterbacks. Ollie, any final thoughts?
Did you see Villanova versus North Carolina?
I caught literally the final 4 minutes.
Well, that's all you needed to see because it was incredible.
It was
the finale.
Genuinely incredible. Have you seen the some footage someone filmed on their phone of on the Villanova campus? They did a huge outdoor screen and there were probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people watching it. And do you remember the reaction in Trafalgar Square when London got rewarded the Olympics? Ramp that up by about 15 times and they went absolutely nuts for it. And I was thinking about it. I think my favourite thing in the world, there's a great thing I tweeted out the other day from @WillGav of Norwich fans celebrating when they went 3-2 up against Newcastle right at the death.
Yeah.
And there's that moment that you only really know as a sports fan when something happens right at the final moments of a game or whatever and it's just mind-blowing and just the pure relief and joy that you exude. Oh, I love it. I love
it. Have you ever had that moment?
I've had moments where, I think Penn State, when we had that was pretty close to that, and we were 110,000 people. I mean, I wasn't a hardcore fan of the team, but I was just so swept up in it. There was Reading Wolves in 96, maybe 97.
About 10 then?
13 or 14.
13,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Second to last game of the season, had to beat them to stay up. It was a night game. It was pissing it down with rain. We were soaked to the skin. And it was 1-1 with about 5 or 6 minutes left. And we went a goal up. And then we went 3-1 up and won and stayed in what at the time was still Division 1. It wasn't the championship yet. Yeah. And that was pretty incredible. But yeah, anything like that, those last minute goals to win it, which just, oh, I'll tell you an amazing one actually while I'm doing it, and then I'll ask you for yours. It's one that the whole nation shared, but David Beckham's free kick against Greece.
You're right.
To get us into Euro 2000. But the moment that happened, I was in the walkabout in Reading, and I just left this Euro 2000. I was upstairs in the walkabout, and it was so packed in. You were like shoulder to shoulder. Nowhere you were going to sit. You could barely lift your beer to your mouth. And when that went in, I've never seen more plastic pint cups and litres of beer be thrown up into the air and soak an entire crowd of people. But because we were up on the balcony, the people who were down on the downstairs floor got genuinely drenched in beer, but nobody seemed to care. We went down there and people were soaked to the skin. But it was just one of those things where everyone there was sharing in the same moment. It was pretty incredible.
Elation and joy. Now, I suppose it would have been incredible to have been there for the two Aaron Rodgers sort of Hail Marys, especially that first one against Detroit, where it literally was the final seconds, and you know Richard Rodgers brings it in. But the one I know and I was at was for QPR versus Derby County in the playoff final to get into the Premier League. Gone down to 10 men, back to the wall. It was one of the worst games of all time, and Bobby Zamora scores with about 2 minutes to go. There's nothing quite like it, just the elation that you feel.
It is incredible. Well, that was a nice little conversation to tack onto the end there. Good shout, Ollie. Well done. Sometimes I ask if you've got anything else to add, and you go, meh.
Well, yeah.
I like it when you add something really, really of value. You add something of value all the time, Ollie. You're my favourite. So keep tuned. We're going to have another show out in the next couple of days, and then next week... I'm trying to think, we may do a show before the schedule's released, but certainly once the schedule's out and we start to work on the Gridiron Tour for next year alongside Sports Travel Tours, that's going to be incredible. Cannot wait for that one. So we'll bring you all that information. I hope you've been saving your pennies because it's going to be brilliant. Plus, keep checking us out at Gridiron on Twitter, and our draft edition is coming out very soon. And no word of a lie, I mean, I've seen some parts of the draft edition. I've read some of the stuff in there. Some great interviews, including our chat with Paxton Lynch, including our chat with Carson Wentz's offensive coordinator from North Dakota State, which I've got the audio for, and we're going to play out probably in the week building up to the draft or the week beforehand. That's a great interview.
But when are we playing out Carson Wentz's dog walker's aunt?
That's
going to... We interviewed her too.
We're going to do that after the draft.
Okay, fine.
Because yeah, it's not quite as relevant. It's more a character thing.
Sure.
His offensive coordinator is a pretty big part of his life, mate.
I know.
But Matt Sherry said to me, and Matt Sherry is not a man for hyperbole, but he went to me, honestly, Will, I've never been more proud of anything. It's class. It's truly class. So go to gridiron-magazine.com and order your draft preview edition because, I mean, if you've ever heard Simon Clancy on this show, it's worth going and reading just for his insight before you even get to our podcast pages, which are basically just waffle and nonsense.
No, you're utterly correct.
Otherwise, thank you for listening to The Gridiron Show. Check us out at Gridiron on Twitter, gridiron-magazine.com. Ollie, any final words?
No, Will Gavin. I look forward to seeing you at work soon.
In which case, this has been The Gridiron Show. That's how people say it in Surrey.
Hey, Will.
Hazel Irvin here at Spencer Park in Coventry, where 37-year-old Emily and her mates are taking part in a fancy dress fun run to fundraise for Sport Relief. And that means I've been lumbered with her dog, Tilly. Oh, Tilly, not over there. And they're off. An impressive array of costumes on show today. Everything from penguins to pirates, all taking on poverty and injustice. Respect. Spectacular. Poverty getting crushed by Katie on a space hopper. Easy. Coming into the final stretch now, and it's neck and neck. I think we're in for a photo finish here. But it's Suzanne smashing through injustice. She is our winner. Hey, Tilly, get off my tutu. Tilly, sit. You can help change the world too. Just get your exclusive Sport Relief merchandise at Genera's Sainsbury's. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast. Hell yeah!
W-T-E-F-E-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.